This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Jess on Joy.
We are so delighted. We have Dr. Tim Reed here from the Victorian Greens and the member of Brunswick to come in and tell us what's happening on and around in politics. But an important thing that I've noticed is the funding for sexual health centres in Victoria. Are we losing money? Have we got enough money? What's going on up there?
The problem is that Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, which is effectively the only public sexual health centre in Victoria, just up in Swanson Street, Carlton, is overwhelmed. And over the last decade or more, they've been seeing more patients every year, but they just can't cope anymore. They've been introducing all kinds of efficiencies so they can see patients quickly, but often they're turning patients away.
That's not a good look in sexual health.
Well, precisely. And the thing is, most sexual health is dealt with by GPs, who mostly do a very good job. But we need, in Melbourne, some centres of expertise to support GPs when they see something they can't cope with, or for patients who feel that they've made a relationship with a doctor that they trust and may have issues with their own GP. For both of those reasons, it's good to have some centres of excellence around the place.
I mean, if I'm going to go to a doctor, I want to go to the person who I know is the best trained. And if I had a sexual health issue, I'd actually want to go to a sexual health clinic.
Also, I personally have such a good relationship. I've got to say, the one time I had my doctor do what women have to do every couple of years was the most awkward time, whereas I would have preferred to have gone to someone I knew saw it all the time, or that it was a normal thing and I wouldn't be there only. So, you want someone who deals with that and knows exactly straight off, and the last thing you want is a doctor to say, "Oh, I don't know what that is," or
"Sure,
and I don't see that often."
I'm going to be a bit of a wet blanket on this one, because we can't all see a specialist for whichever bit of us is wrong, has got something wrong.
True.
Every time, right? There just aren't enough specialists, and that's what GPs are for.
Yeah,
but there are times when a GP needs backup.
Yep,
and a good example of that is syphilis. So syphilis is on the rise, and when I started working in sexual health 20 years ago, in 1999, there were two new cases of syphilis in Victoria.
Yeah, I thought that only happened during Greece, in the 50s,
So syphilis kind of disappeared when AIDS was at its peak. So people started using condoms, had fewer partners, there was a lot of fear, and we don't want to go back to those days, but syphilis almost disappeared, and the cases we saw were pretty much just imported from places like Cuba and Bali and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But since 2000, it's been doubling every year for a few years, and it plateaued for a bit, and it's been going up again, and we're up to over 1,300 cases a year now. And so, from two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got a problem, and it's been 95% or so in gay men, but in fact it's spread into heterosexuals now, and not that that's an issue, the bulk of it is still in gay men, and so it's a gay men's health issue primarily. And this treatment resource, Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, is unable to cope with it anymore.
Or they'd be overwhelmed.
Yeah. So for most people, again, just having a blood test for syphilis, GP can do that very well.
Yep.
And I would certainly urge people who think they might be at risk to get that done at regular intervals. But when the blood test result is a bit difficult to interpret, when someone's signs or symptoms are a bit puzzling, that's when you need the experts. And the experts need help.
They definitely do. I still
so
am shocked
more funding.
To know that the only government sexual health centre we have is here in Melbourne. What about the poor people in the country? They're probably the ones who are least likely to go to the GP, because
everyone knows everyone.
And it's not the GP half the time, it's the poor lady out.
Tom, can I just put a little kind of caveat? There are some small, a few hours a week clinics scattered around in Ballarat, Geelong, suburbs.
That's good, yeah.
But they are really just a little bit. And the bulk of the work is done in Swanson Street. And I think it's time now to have another clinic like that somewhere in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I think
we need more money.
We've hit that point.
We definitely do.
Now, I had one more question. I still want to ask you about something else, but I've got one more question to follow on from how syphilis, for one, is on the rise, which is obviously terrible. And as you were saying, it's predominantly a gay man issue. I've actually had friends of mine that kind of, I know this is a little bit walking on the line, they kind of don't mind that because they think it's just an a dose of antibiotics, if you know, and that it doesn't matter anymore. So is that something that's actually an issue and why it's on the rise?
So they're quite right. You can cure syphilis with a single dose of antibiotic. It's just that it's a big injection through a big needle of something that's kind of like liquid chalk, and people limp out of the clinic afterwards. So it's something that's best avoided.
Yeah.
But that said, you're better off having a test and knowing you've got it and getting it treated, because once it's treated, it's cured.
Yeah.
And if it's not treated and cured, then a percentage of people can go on to get things that you only read about in the history books. So Al Capone died of syphilis, dementia, that kind of thing. Yeah. So heart, brain, damage in other parts of the body. So don't even go there. Get yourself tested. Get it treated.
Not worth it.
And, you know, condoms are still actually quite a good prevention against syphilis. But
well, they are. They early, are good.
If early treatment on, and testing.
We've got to go back to the old bit. If it's not on, it's not on.
Yeah, no glove, no love. Now, one other thing, Dr. Reid, is that it is currently 30 degrees and today will be 39 degrees. Have you got anything to say about that? Do you think anything maybe is the cause?
Yeah, well, look, us Greens MPs have been saying for a while. In fact, I looked in the history books. It's just over 20 years since Bob Brown first mentioned climate change in the Australian Parliament. And so we've been banging on about this for a while. But what people, and I think over the last couple of weeks, people have heard a lot about the link between climate change and the bushfire emergency in New South Wales and Queensland. You would have.
Now Victoria.
And, you know, we're worried about the bushfire risk today, in particularly around Bendigo and the northern parts of the state. But something has not got a lot of publicity, and that is Victoria's contribution to climate change. And it's not well understood that Victoria is burning around about 1 million tonnes of coal a week. So everybody knows we've got some coal-fired power stations in the Latrobe Valley that power our lights and trains and whatever. But how much? It's a phenomenal amount. And over the last 20 years or so, we've probably burned about 1 billion tonnes of coal. And a lot of that's still up there. That CO2 stays 50, 80 years up in the atmosphere.
In perspective, what does that... I read something along the line that that's still more coal per year than what Adani mine will be producing. Is that right? Am I on...
You are. So the Adani mine, when it goes ahead, is proposed to produce somewhere between, you know, 10 to 30 million tonnes a year, depending on which estimate you read. We're burning in excess of 50 million tonnes a year.
Oh, wow. That's...
It's time we do move on. I mean, I understand we all want our air conditioning to go today. We all power. We're running this radio station with electricity, so there's no way around it. But it's time to start changing. We've got to start doing things different, because, let's be honest, I mean, up in near Port Macquarie where the fires are burning, I lived there for 15 years. More has burnt in one, we haven't even started the season, than five seasons combined. Yeah. The amount we've lost so far is normally what five seasons of bushfires would have done. You can't say things aren't changing.
Exactly. And I think this is probably something that everybody's noticed. And but I don't think doom and gloom is the right reaction. I think we can say, right, even Barnaby Joyce knows there's something going on. And so
a T-shirt about that.
I'm not sure we can expect coherent action, but, you know, the federal government's in a state of paralysis about it, and credit to our state government, who has been promoting renewable energy now for a couple of years, and that's fantastic, and they've just passed some legislation aiming for 50% of power to come from renewable energy in a decade, by 2030. Now, in fact, with the projects in the pipeline, we're going to get there anyway.
Good.
So we've been pushing hard to aim higher. We think we should be aiming. We've got 10 years to do this. We think we should be aiming for 100%.
Well, if we've already going to meet it, let's beat it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just keep going. You don't say, oh, we've done it, let's stop. Yeah.
Look,
what
Tim
a joy.
Reed.
We had Dr. Tim Reed, the Victorian Greens member for Brunswick. Thank you so much for coming in.
Wake up with Tom and Jess, Thursdays on Joy Breakfast. Tune into 94.9 in Melbourne, stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandjessradio.com or subscribe on iTunes or Spotify.
Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.